This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, sometimes being a Roman soldier could be boring. Sometimes there were long days with not much to do. But not this night. This night, they were ready to have an awesome time at Jesus' expense. The Roman soldiers thought Jesus was ridiculous. He was a Galilean peasant pretending to be a king, and that cracked them up. So they decided to have fun with this ridiculous Jesus, and they began by taking away his clothes. That's right, we probably don't want to think about it, but Jesus was standing in front of them all, naked. How humiliating. And they took advantage of the situation. After they had mocked Jesus, they found a robe, a beautiful scarlet robe, and they put that around his naked body. And they said, "There, Jesus, now you're beginning to look more like a king." And they mocked him some more. Next they said, wait a minute, Jesus. You don't look quite like a king yet because you don't have a crown. And one of the more sadistic soldiers grabbed some thorns, wove it into a mock crown, and then jammed it on top of his head. The thorns puncturing his scalp, and the blood pouring down his face. And yet, Jesus just stood there in silence. They were expecting him to start to curse him, to curse them, to wish they would burn in hell. But instead, he remained quiet, he remained silent. And that made them all the more angry. They were trying to get his goat, but he just stood there in peace. So they find another way to mock him. They decide to find him a scepter. So they grab some stick they can find nearby. They put it in his hand for a while, asking him to pretend to be a king. But when he doesn't cooperate, they grab the scepter from him and they smash it down on top of his head a time and again, further driving that crown of thorns into his scalp. And after they had humiliated him, they probably mocked him by saying, "Hail Jesus! Hail your majesty! What an awesome king you are!" And they kept laughing at him. But still, he remained silent. He simply won't play their game. He won't repay hatred for hatred. Well, that infuriates them all the more. So they continue to mock him by spitting on him and showing their utter contempt for him. They mock him and they berail him. But as Jesus looks at them, his mockers, he doesn't hate them. He doesn't wish they would burn in hell. But instead, he has pity on them. He probably even says a silent prayer for them. Why would Jesus do that? In our reading, we heard these words, "How long will the enemy mock you, O God? Why do you hold back your hand? Take it from the folds of your garment and destroy them." Why indeed doesn't God destroy those who mock him? The reason that Jesus doesn't destroy those soldiers is that he's about to die for them. And he's also about to die for us. When we look into Jesus' eyes, we see a depth of pity and a fountain of love that will overwhelm us to the core. You see, from our human point of view, it's normal for us to love our friends, to love our family members, but to love our enemies? No, we'd rather hate them. We'd rather take vengeance on them. But not Jesus. That's where he's different. Jesus displays a love and a compassion that we can never begin to comprehend. And we need to realize, not only was Jesus showing compassion for those Roman soldiers that were mocking him, but that night, he was also showing compassion for us. For us sinners who have mocked him time and again by rebelling against him with our thoughts and our words and our deeds. Think about it. Every time we allow a wicked thought to linger in our minds, we're spitting on him. Every time we allow an evil word to pass through our lips and to hurt someone, we're jamming that crown of thorns on his head. Every time we engage in a behavior that we know that God forbids, but we do it anyway. Or any time we fail to do something good that we know God wants us to do, but we simply refuse. We're hitting him on the head with that stick. In the hymn we sang before the sermon, we sang these words, "What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end?" There is no limit to Jesus' pity. He even extends it to those who mock him. In fact, as I already mentioned, he not only extends this pity to the soldiers, but to the entire human race. Because it's all our sin that finally drove him to the cross and nailed him there. That's why when Jesus spoke these words from the cross, he wasn't thinking only about the Roman soldiers, he was thinking about all of us when he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Now there's one thing you have to understand. There will come a time when God will pour out his wrath upon his enemies. The scripture is clear. On the final day of judgment, those who have mocked God to the end, those who have clung to their unbelief to the end, will have to face God's wrath. That's why Paul said what he did in our reading from Galatians. He said, "God will not be mocked. We reap what we sow." But what we need to understand is that even though God will not be mocked, he is so compassionate that he withholds the judgment he ought to pour out upon us in the hope that we will repent and be saved. You see, before the final judgment falls, he allows the full weight of his wrath to first fall upon his Son. And those who acknowledge their sin and cling to him do not have to fear the final day when God's wrath will be poured out on his enemies. That night when the Roman soldiers were mocking him and shaming him and despising him, amazingly enough, deep in his heart, he was hoping that at least one of them would repent and receive the forgiveness he would be earning for him by his death on the cross. Even though God's enemies will receive his wrath on the final day, God's prayer and hope is that no one will have to face that day because because Jesus faced it for us on the cross. One thing we also have to understand, my friends, is that even though Jesus allowed himself to be humiliated in this way, he is still king. Remember what Pilate put above his head? The King of the Jews. And Jesus was the King of the Jews. He was the promised Messiah, the Son of David, foretold in the Old Testament. But even more than that, Jesus was and is also the King of the Gentiles. In fact, Scripture teaches he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All creation owes its existence to him. Once we understand that, the cross becomes all the more amazing. You see, it wasn't merely another man hanging on that cross, because many people were crucified by the Romans. No, in this case, it was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Himself, hanging on the cross. God Himself being mocked. Once we realize that, it suddenly strikes us that Jesus could have wiped out his enemies with a single thought. Jesus could wipe us out every time we sin with a single thought. He didn't have to hang on that cross. He doesn't have to put up with all the times that we rebel against him. But he does. Because that's the kind of God and that's the kind of king he is. In spite of all the mockery that we have heaped upon him, his response to that is forgiveness and love and compassion. My friends, when God created us in the beginning, his intention was that we would all sit on thrones of glory and be robed in majestic garments with wonderful crowns on our heads. That was our destiny. But that all fell apart when we threw away God's plan for us for a horrible, wicked alternative. And we lost everything. But God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son into the world to walk the path that we deserved, so that through that path he could restore us to what God intended for us in the beginning. Jesus himself suffered so that we could have peace and life for all eternity. Jesus was stripped so that we could be clothed with his robe of righteousness. Jesus wore a crown of thorns so that we might be able to wear a crown of glory for all eternity. He was beaten and he was mocked so that God might welcome us and praise us as his children. And here's the amazing thing. None of the mockery, none of this shame can take the glory away from Jesus. Because his ultimate glory is not in his power and his might. No, his ultimate glory is seen in the fact that he was willing to lay down his life even for his enemies. The most glorious thing we can say about Jesus is that this is the kind of king he is. A king who is willing to suffer and die for those who mocked him, so that those who mocked him might be saved and be his dearly loved people forever. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of king I want to serve now and for all eternity. In fact, the more we focus on Jesus, our king, the more we focus on all that he did, did and does for us, the more we meditate on His unending, unfathomable love for us, it begins to change our hearts. And the result is that we want to love God and we want to love others in the same way that Jesus loves us. In fact, that's why we sang these words in our sermon hymn. Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for Thee. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.